Good morning again, my friends. This is David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, and you are listening to Pebbles of Truth on WJCB Radio. Let us continue to look at unity. Now remember from last week we saw that unity always means one or oneness. Amen? And the unity that we're going to look at is that oneness or that unity between God and our spouse and our brothers and our sisters. Amen? Now, to do this, we need to open up our spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us and allow the true teacher, the Holy Spirit, to minister His truths to us here. Amen? But last week we learned many, many things, as I said. And last week we learned that unity is a spiritual work of God that happens in our heart, out from God's dealing and judgments in our lives. Since unity originates with God and not with man, these dealings and these judgments in our lives can be confusing. They can give us uncertainty and, yes, often can be painful. But fear not, my friend. God has a reason to test us with His dealings and His judgments, and that is to approve us and or to qualify us for the next things that He has for us. As I said last week, there's no free lunch in God. Nothing is free in God. Everything we get from Him will cost us something. And my friend, the bigger the thing that God has for us, the bigger the cost He will extract from us. You know, to know His presence is one cost. There is a price that we must pay to know God's presence. And to know His power, to know God's power, is a different cost, a different price we will pay. And to know God's person, well, my friend, it will cost us everything. Matter of fact, it will kill us spiritually and maybe even physically. But that is okay, because if we can die, then Christ can live out from us. Last week we also looked at unity as oneness with God. And we must be one with God before we can be one with our spouse and one with our brothers and our sisters. Last week we also learned that unity happens in our lives and in the church as we allow God to separate us from the earthly and from our desires. Yes, from our desires. Amen. Now, let's go ahead and get into what the Lord has for us this week. And this week, we're going to start looking at the reasons or the purposes for unity. In 1 Corinthians 12, 25-26, Paul tells us and the church at Corinth that there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffers, now listen, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Remember, unity is all hearts being dealt with by God. And if one is honored, and if in unity, then all members are honored. Oh, how we like to be honored. Oh, yes, we do. But how about the brother or sister or even a spouse that is suffering? Well, if we are in unity with God and unity with them, then we, my friend, will suffer right along with Him. Unity, my friend, is a very deep work of God, and we must understand it quite well. Paul wrote the books of Ephesians as well as Philippians and Colossians and Philemon while in prison in Rome. He was confined in waiting trial. Paul's purpose, his reason, was to form a body to express Christ's fullness on earth, doing this by uniting people among whom God Himself could dwell. His purpose was to equip and to empower, and most important, to mature His people to the extent that they would be able to extend to the world Christ's victory over sin and death. For this cause, we see unity can only exist in maturing Christians and most certainly mature believers. There's a difference here. And why? Because these folks have allowed God to work in their lives, developing them. If you are taking notes, and you should be, my friend, please write this down. The word unity appears three times in the Bible. once in the Old Testament in Psalms 133 and 1, and twice in the New Testament, both in Ephesians 4 and 3 and 4 and 13. And it means all hearts. This is the definition now of unity. All hearts are one in or one in the bond of peace. Notice all are not believing and doing the same. That is not unity. No, it's not. In God, we are all different and are different at the same time. We are the same and we are all at different levels of maturity. Paul writes in Corinthians 10 and 16, "For we being many are one bread." This is God's expression of his diversity within the body of Christ. Yet we find in the church, not so much the body of Christ, no peace, no harmony, and why not? No unity of the Spirit. Now remember the meaning of unity, all hearts one in the bond of peace. In Ephesians 4, 3 through 4, Paul writes, endeavoring, and now that word endeavoring there means a struggle, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one there, one unity, one Spirit. There's one body, one Spirit, even as we are called in one hope. There's one hope of our calling. So why the endeavoring or the struggle? Well, that is easy, my friend. Building unity in the body, in the Spirit, in us, then in the church, is a spiritual work of God in us through God's dealing, his judgments. And not too many Christians will be willing to open themselves up to that. Amen? My friend, a body dwelling in unity. In Strong's 1775 and Strong's 3164 describes that as agreements all together in a mature body and the Lord's love. Unity is an outward manifestation of an expressed love due to an inward submission to the Lord. Let me say that again. Please write this down. Unity is an outward manifestation of expressed love due to an inward submission to the Lord. A body collectively dwelling in unity and agreement and peace from the work of God in individual lives has the ability to heal individual members. That's right. That they have been wounded, those members that have been wounded and are dying away from the truth. And it also has the ability to give of itself in a way that is greater than its ability and resources. Simply put, a body functioning in unity is synergistic, or it is greater than the sum of its parts. Amen? Okay, now let's go ahead and look at four reasons, and we'll probably only get to the first one, four reasons for unity within the body of Christ. And they're taken, as we looked at, from 1 Corinthians 12, 25, and 26. That first reason is there should be no schisms in the body. Now, the word schism is not often spoken, but it has a disastrous effect on a spiritual body. Strong has it as number 4977, and it means to rent, to divide, by rendering, to split apart into fractions, to be divided. Wow. Sound familiar? Today we would call it a church split, but God calls it shameful. Behind a schism or church split is a spirit of rebellion, and unless the spirit is dealt with by God, it will affect every member. Some members will leave that group or that group and infect other groups with a rebellious spirit that will cause another church split and so on and so on. This is why we have so many denominations, all rebellious to God's word and lack of submission. A schism is more destructive to a church than sin. Let me say that again. A schism is more destructive to a church than sin. Sin can be dealt with by the blood of Jesus, but a schism is rebellion. Let me say that again. To spiritual authority, rebellion to spiritual authority in the body of Christ. At the heart of the schism is people wanting their own way instead of doing what the Lord wants. Doing and saying what they think is right instead of listening to the spiritual authority that has been established. Resisting spiritual authority is the fastest way to get God angry with you, my friend. When we speak against God and His leaders, we are not speaking against the leaders, but we are speaking against God Himself. Take heed, my friend. Speaking against God's leaders will move you out of God faster than sin. The spiritual authority in our lives or whoever we address in all authorities is God's number one focus in our life. Take heed here, my friend. Take heed here and do not get this wrong. In Psalms 133:1-3, it gives us the guidance and the focus on how a spiritual body should function. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. In verse 3, it ends with these words, for there the Lord commands the blessing, even life evermore. The blessing was not in the command in verse 2 as the ointment of anointing oil was that was poured out on Aaron's head and on his beard, or the dew of Hermon as it descended upon the mountains of Zion. Oh no. But the blessing, the command, there, in that place of unity, is the place where the blessing of life forevermore is commanded. Amen. This has been David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, and I hope you enjoyed today's message, and I just pray that the Lord blesses you today and works in your heart, and tune in next week, and we will get into the second reason for unity. Amen.